Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Bayside. Glad you are with us, that you joined us this morning. Boy, it is well with my soul. Amen. Ooh, that song just, it gets me. And to think that no matter what is raging around us, no matter what life throws at us, that it can be well with our soul. And that is only because of Jesus. You know, our world has seen a lot of raging this past week. And I actually want to begin this morning with a word of prayer. As we've seen the news all over, starting in Boston and then Texas, and some snowboarders were just killed in an avalanche. And then, of course, the big earthquake that just happened overseas, taking the lives of about 180 people. So what I want to do is I just want to start with a word of prayer, just praying God's comfort for all those people who've lost loved ones. And of course, we can praise the Lord that justice is beginning to happen in Boston, but at the same time, there's a lot of effects that people are going to be dealing with for the rest of their lives. So I want to begin this morning actually with a word of prayer, just lifting up these folks who this week had such a tough week. Okay, let's open with prayer for them. Our Heavenly Father, we do come to you today, and God, as that song clearly stated, it can be well, and it is well with our soul. And God, even in the midst of tragedy, God, it can be well with our soul. And Father, there was a lot of tragedy this past week. And so, God, we want to lift up all these folks, Father, all these different areas, both of our country and around the world, that are dealing with loss and the loss of life and what that must be like for them. And so, Father, we want to lift them to you. We want to ask that you would be especially present in those places, in those areas, and in those lives of people who are hurting and who are confused and maybe who don't feel that sense of hopefulness that we do this morning. And so, Father, we want to lift them to you, and we want to pray your special comforting touch upon them. God, I pray that we would do whatever we can do, and if it's just pray, then help us to be diligent to pray for these people. And Father, our hearts go out to them, and our prayers are lifted up to you, to them, and for them. And so, Father, we just lift up all these things now. Again, we thank you that you have given us a reason for hope. And that is only because of your son Jesus and his resurrection. And so, Father, we pray that these folks would see that, experience that, and ultimately know you in a new way. And so we lift them to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've been in a series on wounds. We've been in a series since Easter where we've been talking about the wounds of life and the hurts of life. And you know, there are people in our country and people around the world who are dealing with new wounds this week. And in many ways, all of us, we all have wounds. We all have hurts. We all have things in our life that just don't go our way. And this quote should sound familiar. We've been speaking this for the last few weeks. The key to wounds and hurts is this: when our wounds meet Jesus' scars, we receive true healing and we experience a living hope. You know, we can have hope, just like we sang about, it can be well with our soul. We can have hope in our souls, deep inside, no matter what life may present to us. And the reason is because we have a hope that's beyond this life, amen? Our hope is not in this world. This world may fall apart. This world may not give us what we want, but we have a hope that is beyond that. And Jesus' resurrection, his scars that he very clearly showed to his disciples, are the place we have to go to find hope in this world. And the hope in this world is not hope in this world. It's hope in a future world. It's hope in what we have coming. And so all of the wounds and the hurts that we have in this earth and during this time on earth, in this journey, will be answered. We'll find healing for those things, and we'll find hope in those things when we find them in the scars of Jesus. Now, this is going to be our last series, our last message on this series on wounds and healing and hope. And today what we're going to look at is we're actually going to look at childhood wounds. So we're gonna take a look into those wounds that happen maybe when we are very, very young. You know, and whether or not you have wounds that you are still dealing with from childhood, I hope that this message does one of two things. Either it ministers to you in those wounds that are still there from your childhood, or if not, I hope that it helps all of us to be better prepared to minister to other people who are still dealing with wounds from their childhood. Because I believe there are people all over, I believe in our body and people all over our culture that we deal with every day that are still nursing and feeling the effects of the wounds that they experienced from the time when they were a kid. Now, I want to read this one quote to you because I believe this is so true, and we see the effects of this all over. Most adult problems are the result of unresolved kid problems. The majority of problems we see in our world with adults, the majority, not all, but the majority are them, majority of them are the result of a problem that happened in childhood that never was resolved. There's a study that came out, it's called the ACE study, and they took 17,000 people and they studied them to look into the long-term effects of adverse, A stands for adverse childhood experiences. And they gave this short survey of 10 questions of things that could have happened to you when you were a kid and what the effects were of those things, those adverse childhood experiences, later on in life. 10 short questions on specific things. Here's what the 10 areas are that they studied in this ACE study. Three different types of abuse: physical abuse, mental abuse, or sexual abuse. Neglect, lack of provision or protection, broken families, domestic violence, substance abuse, mental illness, and incarceration. What they found is that the more of those you had, the higher they called what is your ACE score. And they realized that the more of these that you had, the more likely you were to have extreme difficulties in adulthood. Now, I think we have a picture of this graph that was made in light of this study. And the higher the ACE score, you can see on the bottom is adverse childhood experiences. And the higher your ACE score, the more likely you were, first of all, to have social, emotional, and cognitive impairment. And then if you had even a higher ACE score, you adopted many health risk behaviors. And then it moved up to disease, disability, and social problems. And then they found that if your ACE score was above a 6 or a 7, you actually even died early. And please hear this, up to 20 years early. And so these childhood experiences that people would have in their life, if they were never resolved or they were never dealt with, you'd move your way up this pyramid, even to a point of dying early. Now, the interesting thing is this was not done by a Christian organization, and they have these scientific gaps, is what they called them, how do you know, why does one person move up the rung and one person does not? And they said, well, those are scientific gaps. And they said, well, why do some people not have all of these things? And we know the answer to this. We know the answer. Because when our wounds meet Jesus' scars, we receive true healing and we experience a living hope. Even if we have had all of those things happen to us, those traumatic childhood experiences, we can still find healing. Now those 10 areas, by the way, are not the only things we can deal with as a kid. There's also things like bullying, absentee parents, even around the world we see orphans, and those things that children deal with that are so awful and so terrible, traumatic things. And again, I want to tell you, you know, this is the final message in this series, and I know that we can't get to the bottom of some of these deep-seated childhood things this morning. We're not going to get to the end of these things, but I do want to mention and I do want to tell you that healing is available. That no matter what you may have dealt with as a kid, and I know today that we're maybe going to uncover some things that are not comfortable, but I want to tell you that there is healing available and there is hope available. No matter how many of those 10 things you may have had in your past, That when those wounds and when those scars, when they meet up with the resurrected Jesus Christ, we can find healing and we can find hope. Now, that may not all happen this morning, but it is available. Now, we don't have to go very far in Scripture to see those 10 things brought up in our spiritual ancestors. If we can bring that list back up, I was thinking about our spiritual ancestors from Adam to David and how many of these were represented in God's Word. Now just please listen to this very quickly. First of all, physical abuse. Physical abuse. Remember Joseph's brothers, they threw him into a pit, left him only to get sold to the Ishmaelites. Major physical abuse, mental abuse. Remember Job's wife, when he was going through his trauma, said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Sexual abuse, Lot's daughters and what they did to their father sexually, just demented and abuse. Neglect. Remember how Lot returned that, neglecting his daughters when he was ready to give them to the men from Sodom. How about lack of provision or protection? Abraham giving his wife to King Abimelech to do with her what he would choose, calling her his very sister. How about broken families? Remember Hagar and Ishmael being forced to go out, that family being broken up and go out and live in the wilderness. How about domestic violence? Well, the first two children, Cain and Abel, had intense hatred that actually led to murder. How about substance abuse? Noah got drunk, and after he got drunk, he shamed, and it was shameful what happened with his sons. Mental illness, we see that with Saul. Saul going insane with hatred and revenge, just mentally deranged in his all-out attacks on David. And of course, we see incarceration with Joseph having to go to prison wrongfully. You know, our spiritual ancestors and the lives that they lived and the families that they had were full of adverse childhood experiences. And so these things are not new. These things are not new, and the things that we are dealing with today are not new things, but they're wounds to us and they're deep hurts to us. But we have to know that there is hope. That we don't have to live exclusively in those wounds and those hurts, that we can find hope in the very resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at some childhood wounds this morning from the story of Jacob and Esau. And Jacob and Esau and their family was filled with childhood wounds. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis 25. We're going to read quite a bit from this account of Jacob and Esau. Genesis 25, we're going to start in verse 21. Isaac was the father, and we're gonna see Isaac getting started here. Genesis 25, verse 21. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first one came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak. So they called his name Esau. I got to pause right there. My kids never come out like that. My kids are as bald and chrome, I mean, for like the first 2 years of their life. That's beautiful, by the way, for those of you who that, okay. They are beautifully bald in every way, but you know, Esau came out all hairy. I've heard of kids like that. I've never seen it, but I've heard of kids. He was all red and hairy, and so they called his name Esau. Now, verse 26 said, afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. Now, that sounds more like one of my kids. Yeah, yanking him back in. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she, that's Rebekah, bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now we're going to see in this short account three reasons, and I think a lot of the childhood wounds that we have are because of the three reasons that we see in this text. First of all, in this story, we see that in one sense, these two boys were very different. They were extremely different. And many times the hurts in our lives are the result of differences, either in our siblings or extreme differences between a parent and a child. Now, these boys were different in the way they looked. They were different in what they liked. They were different in almost every way. And we have to realize that many times the foundation for hurts is just simply someone being different than us. At the same time, these two boys were twins. Now, they were fraternal twins, that's very clear, but they were twins nonetheless. So they were both boys. They were both exactly the same age, they had the same parents, and they had the same upbringing. So in many ways, as they were different, they were also very, very similar. And sometimes the struggles and the discord that we have within a family is because two members of that family are just too similar. And they butt heads because of that similarity. And then, of course, we also know that both, this is the third reason, dad and mom had an affinity, a special love for one of the two. And it was different. Now, that's very natural, but we have to be very careful when that is the case. Because as we're going to see, this love caused them to do some things that just wasn't right. And we have to be very careful when there is a natural affinity. So mom and dad didn't do everything right. And you know, sometimes the childhood wounds and the hurts that children experience are because mom and dad don't do everything right. Now, of course, there's no perfect parents. We understand that. But these kids had all of these things going. They were very similar, yet they were very different. And mom and dad had an affinity towards each one, and they didn't do it all right. You know, that's a setup for wounds. That's a setup for trouble. Let's see where the trouble kind of begins in this story. Let's keep reading from Genesis 25, skip down to verse 29. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew. I'm exhausted." That's how he talked. He was a man of the field, okay? He was a hunter. Let me eat some of that red stew, for I'm exhausted. Therefore, his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." He was sneaky. That's how he talked. Esau said, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now Esau very clearly made a bad, impulsive decision to sell his birthright. He made a decision based on the fact that he was hungry. Now a birthright was something that had both spiritual and material dynamics to it. Materially, the child who received the birthright got a double inheritance. So they got a double portion of whatever was coming compared to the rest of the children. At the same time, there was a spiritual component because after the father died, they became the head of the household and they became the spiritual leader. Now, if you think about specifically what Esau gave up, he gave up the very promise of Abraham. That incredible covenant promise that God made with Abraham is what Esau gave up in a second just because of a single meal. And so Jacob took advantage of this. Who was wrong? Jacob or Esau? Who made the mistake? Who messed up? Who was the victim? Who was the victimizer? I'd say they probably both were. Let's keep reading. The story doesn't end there. Turn down to Genesis, a couple chapters later, Genesis 27. We're going to pick it up in verse 6. The father, Isaac, is now getting prepared. He's ready to die. And everybody in the family knows he's ready to die, and he wants to give his blessing to his oldest son, Esau. Genesis 27, verse 6. Rebekah said to her son Jacob, now mom is going to go to the other brother, the one she naturally loved. Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two young, good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies. Now look at what's happening. Mom is getting in on this action, and she's encouraging deception. Now mom is messing up. She's making a bad decision. So what happens? Isaac blesses his son Jacob, being deceived, and Esau is furious. Isaac is distraught. Esau is furious. And he finds out what happens. How does Esau react to this? Let's skip down to verse 41. Genesis 27, verse 41. Here's the result of some of these wounds. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." You know, this final straw was hate. Hate that led to a desire for murder. He got to a point where he wanted to kill his very twin brother. What happens? Jacob runs away to Haran to be with his uncle Laban. His mom tells him to go away, and he goes away. But what we see in this is both of these two brothers live lives of anxiety. They live lives of turmoil. Life doesn't get better for Jacob after he runs away. So let me ask you, who messed up? Who was the victim? Who was offended? Was it Jacob? Was it Esau? Was it Rebekah? Was it Isaac? Who's to blame? We need to find blame. Who screwed up? And who's the victim? All of them. All of them. They all messed up. They were all the victim. They were all the victimizer. They were all offended, and they all offended someone else. They were all guilty, and they were all hurt. Each one of them was the victim, and each one of them was the victimizer. And their lives after this were filled with anxiety and filled with turmoil. And there was no reconciliation, and there was no peace. These childhood wounds that happened in Jacob and Esau's life followed them all the way to adulthood. These kid problems turned into adult problems for this entire family. Now, they lived for years because of this. The good news is, after many years, they were reconciled. And our reading for this week is to read about that reconciliation in Genesis 32 and 33. I'd encourage you to read the story. It's a beautiful story of reconciliation. And you can see how they came back together after years. Even though there was hatred, intense hatred that was ready to murder and ready to kill. Now, most of us in our families, I hope, we don't have murder. But we have offenses. We have hurts. We have hatred. And Jesus, of course, said hatred is murder of the heart. These childhood wounds and these pains and these traumas and these hurts that we have, they're real. And they carry with us many times throughout our whole lives. What's the key? We got to learn to forgive. We have to learn how to forgive even these deep-seated, long-term wounds. So how can we know if we have childhood issues that we have to deal with? How can we know if there's something that maybe I've buried or maybe I've balmed? You know, there's a very important way that we can be aware if something is still there that needs to get dealt with. It'll keep coming up. It won't ultimately go away. It will come back up in our lives in some way. I'm going to give you a gross analogy this morning. And I apologize for the grossness. When something doesn't settle in your belly, when something goes down that just isn't settled, it only has one option. My daughter, Selah, she's almost 5, and she threw up for the first time in her life just about a month ago. And she was so confused. She had no clue what was happening to her, and she's crying and confused, and she didn't know why this was coming back up. But the reality is, if there is something in our life, even from our childhood, that is unsettled, as much as we may want to bury it, it will come back up in some way. It has to. Many times it will come out of our mouth. Many times it will be something where we say, oh yeah, I remember that. But I'm over that. But it keeps coming up, and it keeps coming up, and it keeps coming up, and it keeps coming up. And our spouse knows that we haven't dealt with it, or our best friends know we haven't dealt with it, because we keep talking about it. Or it comes out in a different form in our life. We have to deal with these things. We have to learn how to forgive. So how do you deal properly with childhood wounds? Number one, please hear this. If this is something from a childhood, you probably need to get some good counsel. You probably need some counseling on this. Hear this also. Wise Christian counsel. Please don't go anywhere that you don't feel that they're wise in God's word. And please don't go anywhere for counsel if they are not following Jesus. Because they won't have your answer. They will be able to identify your problem, but they will not have your solution. Please, if you need counseling, and many of these do need counseling, seek wise Christian counsel. And so often we do need that. And if you need help finding that, or this whole series has brought up some things that you know you need to deal with, and you want some help in locating a good Christian counselor, then just please come and talk to me. Because I'd be more than happy to help you walk through that process of finding someone that can help you find healing in this. But the key is, if we were hurt in childhood, the foundation of healing is forgiveness. It is forgiveness. It is getting to a point where you say, I can forgive this person or this situation, no matter what it was. Please hear this. Esau was hurt. Esau was hurt to a point where he was ready to kill his brother. That's a deep wound. But they reunited when they both came to a place where they were ready to forgive. And then there was reconciliation, there was reunion, and then there was peace. True peace came through that reconciliation. Colossians 3, verses 12 to 15, these are beautiful verses in light of forgiveness. Put on then as God's chosen ones, that's all of us if we're in Christ, holy and beloved, look what we are to put on. Every day this is how we are to dress ourselves spiritually. Compassionate hearts, that's a soft heart. You know, when we're holding on to something, our heart becomes very hardened. We have to put on a compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Look at verse 13, powerful verse if we can start living this. Bearing with one another. Yeah, because there's offenses that will come. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, here's our motivation, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. See, that's the key. The key is we can forgive not because they deserve it. We don't forgive because they ask for it. We don't forgive because it feels good. We forgive because Jesus forgave us. Forgiveness, the only way we can truly motivate ourselves to forgive is because Jesus forgave us when we didn't deserve it. Jesus forgave us before we asked for it. Jesus forgave us when we were at our worst. While we were still sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. Imagine your very worst day when you were offending and betraying Christ like no other day in your life. That is the moment when Christ shed his blood for you and for me. And so we can forgive not because what they did wasn't awful and hurtful and traumatic. We can forgive because that's what Jesus did for us. And that's the only reason. When our wounds meet Jesus' scars, we experience and receive true healing, and then we can start living out hope. But it has to meet with the very scars of Jesus, the resurrected Christ, who forgave us when we were at our worst. That's why we can put on compassionate hearts. Verse 14. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. You know, when these wounds come, and they will, we have to learn and choose to forgive. It is not easy. And the longer and the deeper this wound is, the more difficult it is. But we can forgive because of what Jesus did for us. We can do this. We may need counsel, we may need help in getting there, but true healing and hope is available. And if you're not at a place where you have a long-term, deep-seated wound, I guarantee you know somebody who does. And there's probably somebody in your life who maybe is living out the effects of those childhood wounds, and all you see are the adult issues related to it, but they got a deep-seated kid wound that's never been resolved. And so then we need to put on compassionate hearts towards them. We need to realize that maybe their adult issues are because they had kid issues that they've never told us about. And so we all need to put on compassionate hearts and learn to forgive. Many of these hurts and wounds happen during our very formative years, when we were very young and when we're kids, and these wounds go deep. You know, I'm so happy at Bayside because we have a ministry that is completely focused on helping kids. Kids who are currently dealing with deep wounds. And I'm so pleased about our, it's called Promise 1418. And this ministry was created within the last couple of years specifically to help children who are dealing with these deep-seated wounds. They are currently dealing with them. Because these are kids who just don't have what every kid deserves to have. They just don't have it. For one reason or another, nothing that they did, they are in a position where they just need love. And I love this new Promise 1418 ministry. They deal with orphan care, adoption, and foster care. And I want to give you two great ways that if you feel like you've either been healed from some of these childhood wounds, or you're like, you know what, I had a great upbringing. My parents loved me and I never went through this. Well, this is a way that you and I can get involved in helping kids that are currently dealing with this. I want to give you two great things that we can do, things that we have coming right up this next month of May, specific ways that we can get involved in helping some of these kids that are currently dealing with some of these wounds. The first one is on May 13th. May 13th, we have our Adoption Connection meeting. This is a monthly meeting, but this month's focus is on foster care. Now, please hear this. The foster care system is our culture's version of orphan care. In many ways, these are our culture's orphans. And the Bible tells us very clearly that we are to care for orphans. And maybe you've never even considered foster care, but there is this huge need in where we live right now in Douglas and St. Louis County for foster care. And the specifics this month, May 13th, is going to be on foster care. And the coordinators from both Douglas and St. Louis County foster care systems are going to be here. And so we can just come and we can hear what some of the needs are with the foster care system. And I would encourage you, if you think, man, how can I help? Just come to this meeting and listen what the needs are in foster care. It may not be taking a foster care kid in, but it may be. Maybe you have a home and maybe your situation is that you could take one of these children in. This is a great opportunity to meet the needs of some kids that are currently dealing with wounds and hurts. The second option that we have with our Promise 1418 is an adoption conference that's coming up. This is actually just a couple of Saturdays from now, May 4th. You can see 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's going to be a day-long event. There's going to be breakout sessions. There's going to be information. There's going to be actually adoption agencies here that you can talk to. This is going to be a wonderful way that you can come and learn all about this beautiful rescue called adoption. And I believe adoption is that it is a rescue of children. So if you would, please consider both of these options as a way to help kids that are currently dealing with serious wounds. They have a booth out back, by the way, and so I'd like you to just head to the back after the service and visit the booth, and they have more information, and they're ready to talk to you. I want to close this morning with a wonderful verse. Let's end with, what is Jesus' heart in relationship to kids, if we can end that way? Jesus, of course, had a very, very special love for the children. Mark 10, verse 13. And they were bringing children to him, that's Jesus, that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. And he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Look at verse 16, what Jesus does. Maybe we can do this. And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. You know, Jesus took time for kids. He took time and he took them in his arms and he wrapped them up and he blessed them and he spiritually invested in them. And then he laid his hands on them. He got close enough to touch them, and yeah, maybe they were dirty. Yeah, maybe they had runny noses. Maybe they didn't smell the best. Maybe it was an inconvenience to Jesus' real ministry. But maybe he knew that if he didn't get to some of these problems when they were kids, that they were just going to grow and get bigger and be worse by the time they got to be adults. And so maybe Jesus saw the value in dealing with these kids and wrapping his arms around them. You know, maybe we can do the same thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you that, as your word says in John 14, 18, you didn't leave us as orphans. Spiritually, that's where we were, but you didn't leave us there. You came to us. And Father, I thank you that you sent your very son Jesus to die on a cross, that we might be forgiven of all of our sin, not in part, but the whole. And Father, I thank you that in that forgiveness that we have received, now we can begin to pass that forgiveness on. We can learn how to extend forgiveness because of the fact that we've been forgiven. Lord, we know that all of us are victims, and probably all of us have offended someone else. So, Father, I pray that whatever these deep wounds are, if they have not been dealt with, that you would do a work there. God, that we would learn what these hurts are, and we'd get to the bottom of it so that we can line those up with the cross. So that we can see our wounds in light of your scars, Jesus. That we can see that we were forgiven not because we deserved it, not because we asked for it, but because you in your mercy and your grace extended it. Father, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who's nursing wounds, nursing hurts, that they would find some healing in that today. Lord God, I pray that we would all be willing to look deep and say, is there anything that I haven't dealt with that keeps coming up? And then, Father, as we find that healing, that we would then begin to take children and wrap them up in our spiritual arms and help them and love them, that we begin to move beyond just being healed to move into a place of extending and being the healers through you. So, Father, we lift this up to you. We praise you and thank you for your grace and ask you to be with us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.